let's open our Bibles. We're going back into 1 John, and we left off in the 18th verse, and I've been encouraged of the Lord to pick it back up in the 18th verse. I think it's a wonderful verse that God, I'd hope, continue to write it deeper and deeper into our hearts, just not upon our hearts, but I'm talking about to the very core. And in that fourth chapter and 18th verse, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love." And I really want to bring out tonight again in this verse is that he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And you think about what's being said here, if you can listen to these words, is that love makes us. Love molds us. Love is the thing that is creating us and by His grace is building us up into the very image of Christ, which is absolute love. And this wonderful life that is strengthened and so encouraged to not fear it goes for anything that we face in life. Because in love and in Christ, we are always more than conquerors. And I want you to listen to that again. In love, which is in Christ, it's the same thing. Jesus Christ is love. And in that, brothers and sisters, when we rest in what God has given, we are more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, not just a victor, but more than that. Because we have received the very life of Christ. He has given us that divine nature that we can rejoice in. But on the other hand, in fear and in not trusting, and really that's what fear is. It's just not trusting God. It's not trusting in the one who loves us so. And you can see the fear. It's so rampant in this world today, and especially in this country. I don't think any of us have ever seen that. Maybe back in the Great Depression, people really start to fear when they think their money's gone. People really start to fear when they think their standard of living or the things that they were confident in are no longer there. And see, God, I believe, is blessing this nation at this time like it's never been blessed. He's blessing His people because He's showing His people, don't you put your confidence in man. You don't trust in things. You don't set your affections on the things of this earth. And if God is showing this to you by taking it away from things that you held dear to your life, you should be down on your knees praising the Lord right now to say, thank you, Lord, that you're giving me time to, if you want to say, reevaluate what I've had my confidence in all this time, to put it in you. You talk about the breaths that He gives us. You talk about the time that He is giving us to live in right now. We live in the greatest time to trust the Lord. And as the Lord is continuing to allow these things to deplete in this land, it's getting, I think in some ways, it's getting easier to call out to Him. It's getting easier to trust in Him. Because let me tell you something, you're a nut if you're putting your confidence in anything in this country right now. You're an absolute nut. You can see that it's falling apart. Jesus Christ is there for you, and He is showing Himself faithful, and He's showing Himself that He is the only one that is faithful. But then again, if we're going to dwell in that fear, it says right here that we're going to have anxiety. We're going to have unrest. We're going to have torment. And all of those words always add up to one thing in the life of a Christian, and that's unbelief. In unbelief, you will go right there. In unbelief, you will always be tormented. I don't care if you think you might have a time that you can dwell in unbelief or confidence in yourself or confidence in something. Eventually, that road is going to lead to torment. It's going to lead to fear. It's going to lead to unrest. And I'm thankful to God tonight that He has that love that He's given us. And it is the very perfect love of Christ. And then before we go on, I want to touch upon the greatest meaning of this verse. And the greatest meaning, and we did mention it last week. Perfect love does not fear the coming of the Lord. Perfect love does not fear the coming of the Lord. If you're fearing the coming of the Lord right now, brothers and sisters, you're not made perfect in love. And aren't you grateful to God that at least it's that clear and it's that evident? That, Lord, if I'm fearing that, then something's wrong. Amen. It's time to be ready like the Lord's been calling us. Be ready. be a life that's full of that perfect love. See, there's no fear of this end time. And you can see it in the lives of, and again, I'm visiting on the lives of Christians here, that are worried, that are concerned, that are fretful, that are, I know many Christians say, oh, well, I guess we're getting ready to go right into the tribulation. Well, I hate to say it, well, maybe you are, but I'm not. I don't want any part of that. I expect by the grace of God to see Him at the beginning of the moment of that glorious day. Not of anything of me, but I'm just so grateful to Him that it's becoming more real. Always knew that Jesus was real. Thanks be to God. I had a family that pointed me to the things of God. But now He's bringing it home. He's bringing it home to me. And I know Jesus is real. And I know Jesus is going to have a bride. And I know He wants me to be in that bride. See, that's what He's calling to us tonight, brothers and sisters, is to be ready. Perfect love is not ashamed at His coming, is it? No, it's not ashamed. We read about that in 1 John 2:28. Do you remember that? Let's not be ashamed at the coming of the Lord. And remember who He's talking to here. He's talking to the little children. He's talking to those that aren't ready, that aren't looking, that haven't wanted, and I will say it that way, that haven't wanted to receive this truth. It's there to be received. There's Bibles all over the place. And he that wills to know will know. God will reveal you this scripture. It's amazing what God has shown me through select vessels that have never had a chance to really sit down in a meeting like this that know some of the very depths of the truth. Sitting in religious organizations that you couldn't even imagine. But God knew that heart and He brought that message. And I don't know really how He did it, except He did it in His love. But see, that's what all this wondrous 1 John is about, brothers and sisters. It's let's be ready for the coming of the Lord. And how are we to be ready? He's telling us right here. We're to be waiting for Him patiently in perfect love. We know this. You do. You know this message. I'm confident as I look out. I don't think there is a stranger here that I don't know. And if I do, praise be to God that we're going to get to know each other maybe tonight. But I know most of the faces here for many years. I know you know this message. Now it's time to believe and apprehend this message. That's the difference. That's what God wants us to do. He wants this to come home to us, to be the reality, what we dwell in every day. That this is what we ride in. This is what we reside in. This is what we feast upon. This is what we go to bed with at night. Jesus, You're coming. Praise be to God. And our time is about to come together. And that is a wonderful thought. All right, let's go on to verse 19. We love Him. Isn't that wonderful? You can say tonight, you love Him. And because He first loved us. Most simple, direct thing I think you ever read in the Bible. Praise the Lord. It is the very key to all of Christian growth, to all the faith that we will ever have. We love Him. We agape, we divinely love Him because of one reason, He first loved us. And if you haven't heard that word yet, it's grace. That's grace. That's just grace upon grace upon grace. And thank be to God for that from very beginning, brothers and sisters. See, He first loved us. It wasn't like, well, you were born and then He first loved you. No, no, no. From beginning. He saw you. He saw your heart. He loved you. He loved you so much He set out a plan. A plan for all the ages, but a plan and a path specifically for each one of us here tonight. All the things that we have gone through in this life. All the joys, all the heartaches, all the successes, all the failures. By the grace of God, they've all worked together for your good. Because of the love of God. Because you love God. But always remembering this, because He first loved you. And that's why we're here. That's why He's brought us. This is this finely knit, compacted, I praise be to God, part of that rib portion body that we're here indwelling tonight. And what a wonderful thought. All right, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? So, really, no matter how much truth we could ever know, no matter how much truth we could ever recite or the doctrine of His love that we could ever tell, we will never apprehend nor will we ever live the love of God, or will the love of God really ever dwell in us if we hate our brother. Amen? Amen. It's the Word of God. We can tell of the love, we can preach the Word, but as we read back there in the third chapter, without the in deed and in truth, remember, it's in deed and in truth. It's not just in tongue and in word. It's in deed and in truth. And I'm talking about the in deed and in truth manifestation of the love of God in our lives, brothers and sisters. Without that, I'm going to tell you something. The love of God is never going to be dwelling and reigning in our lives. It's just not going to happen. We can talk about it. We can act about it. Remember, this isn't something that's done in hypocrisy. This isn't a play act. This has got to be real. And I believe Brother David so sweetly, and we've been rejoicing in that, when he said, "Search me, O Lord." You know, he wanted to make sure. He believed it. But have you ever gone to the Lord and say, "You know, Lord, I'm excited about this stuff. This is some awesome time. I know I'm tasting and feasting of it, but I'm going to tell you something. You know. And you search me. And if there be any wicked way, let's lead me in the way of everlasting. Because I don't want to waste my time no more." And I believe that we're there. We don't want to waste time. I want to get into that harmony with God. Get into that perfect rest. Get into this perfect love. And, you know, God help me to not be playing around with it. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be a little bit more bold. Without the perfect love of God, you're never going to wed Jesus Christ. You're not going to. You're always going to be a little child. It's got to be this perfect love. And that's the very reason that he tells us here. We cannot say that we love him if we hate our brother. Love and the love for one another is the very greatest of evidences that we are bridal saints. It's the truth. That's it. When the love of God comes to dwell, as Brother Hill always used to say, it makes you love everybody. Body. It just does. It happens like that. God comes in. See, we're not here only to receive the grace of God, but the grace of God has got to flow through. It's got to be shown to all. And it's not, in a sense, me showing. It's the love of God. It's His grace. It's His. It's His love. But thanks be to God, I can be a vessel that receives that. And I can be a Sea of Galilee, I'm telling you, teeming with life that just pours it out on people. I'm so thankful to the Lord that He's causing us to go that way. But see, if you're going to be a Christian that's going to harbor bitterness, or wants to reside in judgment, or you want to be resentful, or you want to be prideful, or you're going to just sit there and say, "I know I'm right, it doesn't matter," or you might be so prideful that you know you're wrong, but you're not going to admit it. This is God we're dealing with. You better break soon. It might be too late. But if you're going to sit there, you're not going to be part of those saints that are waiting in perfect love for the appearing of the Lord. And you will be ashamed at His appearing. God forbid we'd miss the coming of the Lord. It's time to say, "I will go." It's time to leave the familiar. It's time to part with family. If they're not going to go, God forbid they would be the weight that kept me from flying out of here. How about you? Is it that important? Is it that real? I believe it is. I don't think you'd be here on a Wednesday night if it wasn't. And I'm glad I'm preaching to the choir. Got a big choir here. But this is how God has called us. And I have to say, it's kind of sad as I was thinking about this. There might be a few unpleasantly surprised ones that really thought that they were going to be in the bride. Lord, search me. That's all you can do. Lord, search me. All right, verse 21. "And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Isn't that wonderful? He that loveth God, love his brother also. See, this is the very fruit of His life in us. That's His life in us. Okay? And that's what his life does, is it just loves. He who loves God loves his brother. And I really want to emphasize again, this is the agape love. This is the love that loves with every fiber that's within us. It doesn't grow tired. It doesn't grow weary in well-doing. It continues to love. And I know we hit those times. I hit those times every week. You know? But then you have to trust God that, Lord, this isn't my effort. God forbid. There needs to be a willingness, don't get me wrong. But let me tell you something, there better be joy all over this thing. There better be joy. Because the joy, I'm going to tell you, is your strength. And the joy is the love. And without that love and that joy and that strength, it doesn't profit anything. I know a lot of people that try to do a lot, and that's the problem. It's a bunch of do and it's a bunch of nothing. But you can see that when you love like this, it's impossible to be of our strength. It's got to be His, and that's why we need to be yielded to God. See, I don't believe, as we study this either, you know, some people might look at this and say, oh man, that just seems so intense. That just seems so amazingly a bond of relationship with the Lord. Well, sure it is. It's bridal we're talking about. And God gave us a wonderful example. You know, you would have to have your head examined if you were going to enter in to a marriage with somebody that you didn't think was completely and totally in love with you. What do you think of that? Huh? I've seen people do it. And it didn't work. And it didn't last long. Because you know what? That person really wasn't totally and completely in love with them. That heart needs to be given away. Jesus Christ showed me a long time ago. You have that expression where you wear that heart out on that sleeve. He does that. He just gives you His heart. It's there. He's given you everything. God is all in. We know that. Tells us in the Scripture. But why would it be something different that we would expect naturally that it even wouldn't even be more spiritually? God is expecting that. He's searching for the goodly pearl. He's searching for the one that's going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you think about that Holy Spirit. I've been encouraged how my mom's been so blessed. The Holy Spirit taking the love of God and shedding it abroad in my heart. Mm-hmm. And He continues to shed it abroad, doesn't He? It doesn't stop. Just continues on and on and on. And this is what God wants in our lives. All right, moving on. Let's go to chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. Now, this is really the mother lode, you think about it, His very own divine life. That's God's life. And He gave that to you. The moment you received Him, He gave you His divine life. And I just think, Lord, all You ask me to do is believe. That's it. All You ask me to do was merely believe. Believe that You are the I Am. Believe that You unconditionally love me. Believe that You came and You gave Your life and You died for me. You're the atonement for my sin. I believe it. I praise God. I do believe it. I believe that His word is true. That He is the Lamb. That He is the only begotten Son of God. That He is the I Am. That He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. I love that. I love that. I absolutely adore it. It's so simple. It's so perfect. It's so exact. This word is so true. It's so pure. Every time I read it, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit just brings it out. And it's more real. It's got a fragrance. It does. You smell it. You taste it. You talk about a beautiful fragrance. The Word of God. Thank You, Jesus. But it says here that He that loves Him that begat loves Him that is begotten of Him. Now think of that. We love God and we love His children because we love that which is like Him. Think about that, don't you? Shouldn't you? Family. God's family. But as a child, brothers and sisters, we must realize that we are of God. We are of God. Do you see the honor that we need to bestow one upon the other? No, really. You're a child of the King. You're God's children. You're God's family. He sent His Son to die for you and you and you, everyone. He did. He sent that. Now you've accepted that. So you've become. He's given you that divine life. God forbid I wouldn't love you. God forbid you wouldn't love me. Now I'm not talking about liking somebody. This is the dealing that Jesus Christ Himself had with Peter. Peter, do you love me? See, He wanted him to enter into that inner chamber with Him. This was time that we were going to start having real fellowship, Peter. Not just dwelling with me. Not just knowing that I was near. Not just knowing that I'm a familiar friend and close to you. This is something that's intimate, Peter. Because the Holy Spirit's going to come and dwell in your life, son. And you need to make that move. And that really what it was. And the move outside of Peter. Get out of that, Peter. And get into that divine nature that I've given you. You see? When we start to resent and become bitter, I'm starting to understand more and more, that's not me. That's not you. That is not you. You're of Him. And being of Him, you love. And we love one another. And brothers and sisters, God help us if we don't love one another. And you think about what He's emphasizing here, because if we're going to operate in resentment or not into that agape love, we're not operating as the mature sons of God that He has called us to be. We are not operating in the very center of His will, as opposed to what we're doing is we're operating as self-centered, spoiled children. It's more important for you to just hold the resentment. It's more important for you to cry and maybe despair that you didn't get your own way about something. I wasn't treated the way that I thought I should have been treated. Well, God help us to treat one another with love. But are you going to be a mature son of God or not? Huh? Have you ever raised a child? I know a lot of you have. Did they ever disrespect or sass you? I hope you say yes. If I see you say nodding, I need you to come back and tell me about what you did. But did you just abandon them and leave? Did you just say forget you? No. Why? Because you love them. This is your family of God. That's a whole different level even. Do you see the responsibility that's yours? When He gave you His divine nature. Now who's right? Are you right or is God? Are your feelings more important than God's word? You talk about a rhetorical question, huh? Well, I'll give you the answer. No. It's about God's word. And it's about God's love. And your life will settle so much better when you just settle in with God's word. And you love it. And you say, Lord, I just know this is right. Sometimes I don't understand what's going on. But by faith, You bring me into that harmony with You. And I'm going to just trust that You love me. You love me. That's caused me to love You. And you know what? I love You enough to know that You are right. You're just right. Because You're just God. You're the I Am. And help me to get over this thing like now. Not let's work on this or I'll go see somebody. No, get on your knees and let's get over it now. I don't want to be ashamed at His appearing. I don't want one thing on my mind that was distracting me from the Lord. I hope He's convicting you like that too. It's immediate. He is a lover. You talk about when somebody's pestering you to get you on the phone. He's on you all the time. Didn't He? Praise the Lord. Don't ignore that calling. Be thankful for it. All right, verses 2 and 3. Let's go on. By this we know that we love the children of God. See, I love it in this wonderful scripture again. See, this isn't the maybes. This isn't something that might be. This isn't a gray matter. No. Gray matter is your brain. The mind of Christ knows. It just knows. And I'm so thankful. He's telling us that we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Now, I believe to really understand what He's saying here, we have to understand the commandments that He's talking about here as opposed to the Ten Commandments or the law that He had given back to Moses. And let's talk about what this is implying here. It's implying that these Ten Commandments, this law that was upon, was a grievous thing. In Peter said it in Acts 15:10. You can just write these down and look them up later if you'd like. But in 15:10, Peter says, neither we or our fathers were able to bear. That means the law. In Acts 13:39, it says, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things. Isn't that wonderful? From which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And then in Romans 3:20, it says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then he wraps it up in Romans 3:28 so sweetly. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen? Amen. That's the word of God. All right. Now, we could go on and many other verses, but I believe this points out very adequately what he's trying to get at here is this commandment or these commandments that he's speaking of in this text here are very different from the law. This is the commandment, brothers and sisters, of His divine nature that He's given us. This is what you are. This is what He wants you to be. Remember we say we don't strive. I don't know if it's the correct English, but you just be. You be who He's made you. You be the life that He's given you. And that life loves. And it does. And it loves perfectly. And it loves through heartache. Injustice. Yes, it does. Yeah. It loves through hatred. It loves through bitterness. It loves through unkind words. It loves through people that didn't appreciate what you did. It loves through family that's ignoring you. It just loves. It just loves. Okay? Because it's His nature. And you think about this. This is His yoke. And I'm so grateful to God that I know that my Lord does have a yoke. And His yoke is easy. And His yoke is restful. See, His ways are not our ways. When we think about a yoke, we're talking about something burdensome upon us. But thanks be to God, we're talking about something that's easy and restful. And it must be something that His Spirit gives us. And all He's asking us to do, brothers and sisters, is yield to it. And really what it is yielding to His love. And His love is the greatest barometer. Is the greatest barometer of are we really ready for His appearing. That's what it is. Brotherly love. Now we're getting back to Philadelphia. That wonderful church that's kept from the tribulation. It all just fits together so perfectly. How God is all about love. And I hope we love one another like that tonight. I really do. All right, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. You're He that's overcometh the world. You didn't even need to go see Superman, did you? Yeah. Beyond the Fantastic Four. Oh my. We're sitting here looking for our cape, thinking, oh, you're not talking about me. Oh yes, I am. More importantly, oh yes, he is. Now, brothers and sisters, as we read this, we read that word overcome. And that speaks of a battle. And you are in a battle. And I know you're raising your hand up and saying, no, I'm in a war. No, you're in a battle. And let me tell you something. It's a wonderful battle because it's a fight. And the Word of God calls it the good fight of faith. And you need to be in that battle. You need to be in that fight. And that's how you're going to be strengthened. And that's how you're going to be that wonderful good soldier that endures as God calls us to be. And it's so wonderful because this good fight of faith, it ties so perfectly into the verse we mentioned last week in Galatians 5:6, which it says, faith which worketh by love. Isn't that wonderful? I was so thankful and thrilled that the Lord encouraged me last Sunday to go back to that verse and thinking, you know, Lord, sometimes I'm praying, sometimes I'm believing, but it just doesn't seem like it's working. And he sat me back and he got me into this verse and he says, yeah, it's not working because you're not relying on my love. You're relying about your praying. You're confident and you're believing. I want to be confident in the love of God. And boom, that faith is going to work. It's so wonderful how it does that. It just is. Lord, I'm healed. And I just leave it there. Oh no, but you're dying, brother. Oh no, I'm not. I'm healed. Now what are you going to accept from God? Huh? I want to accept what He tells me. And I'm going to tell you something. He tells me that my faith that He gives me worketh by love. You'll never separate these two, brothers and sisters. You'll never separate them when you're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. They work together. And they truly do. You cannot separate them. But yet it is love that governs all of it. See, we'll never have great faith. You will never have great faith until you embrace, until it becomes real to you, the unmerited, the unconditional, and never-ending love of God. It is. Absolutely great faith in it. Just absolute love. That peace that passes understanding. I'm so thankful to that. And I think of how it says so sweetly how that virtuous woman, it says, the husband, he rests in her. And I just think how God, you know, I want to rest in you. And by me resting in you, you're resting in me. I mean, that's a wonderful thought. How that marriage starts to take place and how God, I'm laying my head upon your breast and you know, you're just laying your head right back on me. He said, I'm seeing that, you know, this my child's growing up and hallelujah, there's a love match going on here. We're really falling in love. I'm drawing nigh. I'm becoming that true worshiper in fervent love to kiss my Lord. It's over and over and over throughout His wonderful word. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this. You love the Lord. You're going to have great faith. You will. You have great faith. And I'm talking about great faith that's even beyond the worthies of faith in Hebrews 11. It's a special faith. It's a faith that only the Holy Spirit can bring. God brought it out that we're a band, brothers and sisters. We're a band of people that are more than conquerors through Christ. Who loves us? Who loves us? Oh my. See, that's the love you go back to. I think about David's mighty men, how the Lord wrought the victory for those brothers. See, faith makes us conquerors. Faith in God's love makes you a conqueror. And why does it do that? Because it ties us, it binds us, it links us to His life. And what did He not conquer? He conquered everything. He conquered sin and death. That's the life that I'm tied to. That's the life that He's given me. So as I go into that faith and I say, Lord, that's mine. It's no more a struggle. No. It's victory. It's not a struggle anymore. It's victory. Oh, what He can do. It's precious stuff. Are we really going to believe that it's finished? But that it's finished for you? See, that's the difference. He did. He brought us in. Praise God. He brought us into that. It's finished. Hallelujah. All right, let's finish with 6 through 8. Such a precious portion of Scripture here. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, this is, I'm telling you, overcoming power. And it's all through Christ. And it's all through the blood. And praise God, He brings it back and He says, by water and by blood. And these both are very precious and necessary for not just life, brothers and sisters, but this brings us to the abundant life. See, when the Word told us that He has made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And that's why we give glory to God, because that's everything. That's everything in Jesus Christ. Again, that oneness that the Father, the Holy Ghost, everything has been put in that Son. And that's so wonderful. And this wonderful blood and water that flowed from Him. And where did it flow from? His side. And where did it flow from His side at? Upon the cross. And this is what He's getting at here is, praise God, the blood we know. It speaks of the justification. It speaks of the redemption. And our sins were washed by the blood of the Lamb. No matter how scarlet, no matter how red like crimson, they're as white as snow. Praise the Lord. Never to be remembered again. But it's not just the blood, it's also the water. And this was the life that was imparted to us, brothers and sisters, through the cleansing of sin. You think about that leper. The leper needed the blood for redemption, but he also needed the water to bathe the flesh. That water, that daily bathing, that cleansing that needs to go on in our lives, brothers and sisters, that water is the sanctifier. It's the daily cleansing of the Word of God that separates me unto Jesus Christ. This is what we need daily. I'm so grateful to Him every morning, throughout the day, meditating upon the Scriptures. Laying my head down, thinking of, oh Lord, Your wonderful Word for me. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. The height of this is, it's not by might or by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord. See, He had to go to bring us that wonderful Spirit. I just think of the marvelous love of God. What God gave in His Son, and then His Son leaving to give us the Spirit that would bring us into this relationship, that He could take the things of Christ and truly make them mine. I'm just so overwhelmed how the Spirit does this. And you think about the Holy Spirit and His working. From the very beginning when we accepted Christ as Savior, who was it that was knocking upon the door of your heart but the Holy Spirit to receive the Lord? And that was only the beginning. Oh, you've received Him now, huh? Well, how about getting filled with it? How about going on and on and up and up and up and having the very glory of God come to dwell in your life? See, that's what God is doing. This is what this age is about. I'm so grateful to God when people get saved. I had a brother ask me, well, brother, don't you think people at least should get saved? Well, they got to begin somewhere. I would that all men be saved. And then he said, well, you're not one of those Great Commission guys, are you? I said, oh, no. Well, let me rephrase that. The Great Commission to me is He's looking for a bride for His Son. And I believe that's what the Word of God tells us. So, in step with that, I think we're, praise God, on a promise standing. But this daily conviction, brothers and sisters, is to surrender and live the life of I will go. It's a life that's completely sanctified, completely separated to Him. I had a man today tell me a little story. He said, well, you know, when you get your... He said, could you imagine, you know, let's say your whole affection in life was upon a beautiful Cadillac. That's all you ever wanted. So when you got to heaven, that's what God gave you. He gave you that beautiful Cadillac. Now, I'll just go out there and drive it, have fun with it. After about 6-7 hours, he said, you'd probably get pretty tired of it, wouldn't you now? Set your affections on things above. There might be a couple things down here that might be more than 6 hours, 6 days, 6 years. Maybe if it was 6 lifetimes, but we're talking about forever. I can't even get there, but I know God has promised me that. And he's promised me in that the exceeding riches of his grace. He's going to unfold that in his kindness because he loves me and I believe that he loves me. That's all he asked. Oh, my goodness, the deal of deals and the love that he has given us. But brothers and sisters, the water is preparing us for that readiness for the soon appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it even goes a little bit further than that. Leviticus chapter 8, verses 6 and 23, it says that the blood and the water were applied to Aaron and his sons. So what this is speaking of is the priestly life. That was Leviticus chapter 8, verses 6 and 23. This is the anointing upon a life of the blood. We want the blood, obviously, but it doesn't stop there. It's the water as well, too, praise God, that continues separation to Christ. And if you remember over there in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, the full overcomers in Christ are singing, thou hast made us priests and kings. It does all work together. The Word of God is all working together. And I'm going to tell you something. You see, the bride, she walks in that priestly life right now. She walks in that. She has that anointing upon her life. It's a vessel that's full of an offering to Him. It's a vessel that is dwelling in the Holy of Holies. And then I might go a little bit further. A sweet sister reminded me not too long ago about that side where that blood and that water flowed from. In the Greek, it's not a side, it's a rib. And I'm going to tell you something. The bridal portion out of her life, it oozes and it flows, the blood and the water. And it just does. It keeps flowing. She recognizes and realizes it's all by the blood. And it's all the wonderful Word, the life that He brings us through that Holy Spirit. The importance of that Holy Spirit. I appreciate how many have been encouraged to pray for one another that we would be filled. And then the precious sister brought the Bible study last week. Not just filled, but full of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Overflowing. I mean, I love when you're in a relationship with somebody and you tell one another you love one another. I love you. And I love you. And then you have some brothers and sisters say, bet I love you more. Well, you had a head start on me. But I'm catching up. But then the intimacy of a man and wife where you really love one another. And you love in those actions and the deed and in truth, and you do also love in tongue and all of that as it comes together, and to hear those wonderful words. And that's what Jesus Christ wants with us. He wants us to settle down. He wants us to get our eyes off of the things of this earth, brothers and sisters. We get distracted so easily. We go from one thing to another to another. Let this Word satisfy your life. Just let it satisfy you like nothing else. I'm thankful to God that He can inspire me through lots of things. But I'm thankful to God that He brings it back all through His Word. The things in life that He's bringing my way, I'm seeing the Word of God in those things that are forever and are profitable to my life. This is what He's trying to show us. See, this life that has the blood and water flowing through it, brothers and sisters, knows Him in the power of His resurrection. Do you realize that? She knows that. She knows the power in that life. That's the power of the life that He gave to me. It's His divine life that now I have. He's conquered sin and death for me. Do you realize how free you are? Do you realize the ability now that you can come into the Holy of Holies, and you can come before God, you can call Him Father, that there's nothing stopping you? I know Him in the power of His resurrection. And then praise the Lord as He's poured out that water upon my life, separating me to Him. Oh yes, I've begun to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. And the only way that I'm going to hunker down there and to say, Lord, yeah, I will go this way, is I got to be washed in the Word. There's no other way that I'm going to be able to endure that. These things are going to be strange to me unless I get into that Word and understand that these things aren't strange. They're glory to me. That I'm starting to get happy when I'm rejected and despised and looked down upon. And I suffer for the sweet name of Jesus. I'm starting to have a few more people looking for me these days. Can you imagine that? It's gotten so desperate that I've gotten a few calls from people. It was not about money anymore. It's about, what's that Jesus you used to talk about? You never know what God. He'll turn up the heat because He loves you. He loves His people. He wants them to turn to Him. Think how long He dealt with Israel. Over and over and over. I'm just a God of love. I'm not a God of judgment. Would have been over a long time ago. But I'm telling you, she's lived a life that has been conformable to His very death. And the Holy Ghost bears witness in her life of the blood and the water. I'm so thankful that His blood is over me. I'm so thankful that He washes me daily in His Word. I'm getting more and more in my life going unto Him out from among the camp. So long, world. I can't imagine I stayed around so long. I can honestly say I'm starting to understand. As Brother Hill used to say, the only regret is time squandered. And we can squander time as a Christian too, very easily. Don't get complacent. This is a time of great battle. And it is. We're in a great race. There's a great work, not that you're doing, that He's doing in you. And it's time to be willing. It's time to say, Lord, I need that power. And He's given the power of His might. And God, help me not to quit. Help me not to withdraw and draw back in unbelief. But God, to press on, truly to press on, especially in these days, brothers and sisters, because these are the days right before the coming of the Lord. It's all about to unfold. And if there was ever a time to sprint, it's about time. Because I'm telling you, it's the only way we're going to get through that last burst, praise God, of His might. And then I just think, as He tells us in closing, He delights in this wondrous work of grace. You see how it says here, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, one. The oneness, the completeness, the joy of the Godhead in seeing the masterpiece unveiled. Because the time's coming, brothers and sisters, that our wonderful Lord is going to take that throne, and He's going to take that throne with His wife. What a time it's going to be. Hallelujah. Well, let's just stop there, and I pray that this has encouraged you tonight. Thanks be to God that He's such a loving Savior to us. And I do take time to allow Him to just instill that love in you. Take time to fellowship with one another. Take time to truly reach out. And I mean that. I mean that in the godly agape love sense. Not in the feel-good, touchy-feely, which is nothing sense. Fellowship one with another. If I have something that I've been harboring or been holding against a brother, I think this is a great time to come forward to one another and just embrace and say, I love you. Let's run on. Let's don't run away from this anymore. Let's don't just try to stay away from one another. Let's run together. Let's do. Really, I understand we run with the Lord, but as we run with Him and we run in that Spirit, we're running tightly, fitly, compacted together. You know that? You better get used to one another. You really better. Quit running out of the church so quick when it's over. I think that's an evidence of brotherly love. Become needy for the love of the saints. It's a wonderful thing. I appreciate when I hear people say, you know what? I don't like to leave this place. Maybe you finally got so desperate that the love of God got perfected in your life. Are you willing to go that far? I hope we are. Let's stand and be dismissed.